Hello.
Hello.
And welcome. I'm Ryan.
I'm Nick.
And this is an Oliku Studios podcast.
Gaiden.
Because we've been sitting here at the mics for like the past half hour, like talking back and forth about what we could do, what we could talk about, and like games we want to play, and like stuff for Halloween, and all sorts of stuff, but nothing came to us for today. And, I mean, neither of us has any sort of indie freeware game of note on the mind right now, so...
Yep.
We're going with a Gaiden.
Gaidenopolis.
Which, I'm going to be honest, some of my favorite episodes are Gaidens.
Yeah. They're definitely more fun to do, because you don't have to, like, be on anything.
You don't feel constrained, man. It's like freeform jazz. You need to listen to the podcasts that we aren't recording.
Like any of the other ones. I also started listening to Risk.
Yeah, it's a great show.
To continue the off-mic conversation.
Oh, yeah. Actually, to continue the off-mic conversation when you about fake sponsorships, I started listening to Night Vale Radio, which is it's presented as a series of radio transmissions from the local radio station of a very spooky town in, like, the middle of a desert somewhere in the southwest.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. And they cut to the weather every now and then. And by every now and then, I mean every episode, and then play some music. And they have sponsorships that, I mean, sometimes they are for local things, like the drawbridge reconstruction. There is no water in Night Vale. There's no body of water there. So, I mean, who knows why they're working on the drawbridge, but they are.
Right.
And sometimes it's just like, Subway, devour your own empty heart.
Huh. Okay.
What? It's pretty great.
Yeah, no, I like the sound of that. It sounds adequately spooky.
There was a glow cloud. One time station management left their office, and it was very scary.
Wait, just a cloud that glows?
It dropped corpses from the
sky. Okay, that's a little worse. Can I just say, last episode, when you came in, you said that you had some hot snooze for me. That's still hilarious.
When did I say that?
Right off the top, and I started laughing a lot, and then you didn't know why I was laughing.
I don't remember that at all.
It's because you said hot snooze.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Hey, at least we're talking about remember that time on our own podcast and not remember that time on Giant
Bomb. That's better. That is much
whatever.
Better.
So while we were shooting the shit here, we were discussing recent video game conquests and also just playings, not really conquests.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did finish my first playthrough of Borderlands 2.
I've been fucking conquesting some Mario Kart.
Yeah. You were just like, oh, I could talk about Mario Kart and how it's been an existential crisis for me.
With licensed characters. Yes.
So tell me about that.
Okay. So,
did you snake so hard that, like, your fingers fell off, but you kept snaking?
No.
Because that would spook me.
No, like, I feel like it's an existential crisis because it's one of those things where, like, no matter what you do, like, I've cursed more at that game than I've cursed at LOL. And I get mad at LOL.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. But, because it's like, it's one of those things that, like, after a while you just go, like, it's like those experiments with dogs and learned helplessness.
Uh-huh.
They're just like, they give them a lever, but the lever doesn't turn off the shock treatment.
Oh.
And so they just learn to, like, not do it. I think it's kind of like that, because it's just like, after a while, it's just like my choices make no effect on this.
I'm still choosing to do this thing, and I know that it hurts me.
No, it's just like, in the race, it's like I'm making choices about how to race and what to do, and it has no effect on the outcome. Like, if you took a quote-unquote good player and bad, and, like, average or bad player, and just averaged their outcomes, it would be the same.
Well, yeah, because there's all, like, ferocious rubber banding in that game.
Apparently, on certain tracks, there are set events. Like, there are set times that a blue shell will hit you if you're in first place, regardless of what's going on the track.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
But, like, You know how, you know, sometimes we can get on people for being, you know, Smash Brothers, Fox Only, Final Destination?
Yeah, yeah. Stop having fun, guys.
I would prefer that in Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And, okay, so here's the thing about it.
Like, I'm okay with, like, you know, green and red shells and banana peels and mushrooms and stuff, but, like, the turning into a chain chomp and biting your way through the entire race and the blue shell that only punishes the guy who has played well, that's all kind of bullshit.
But just, like, I was thinking about it from sort of, like, a mechanical sense about the difference between items in... Because I've been playing Time Trial, which doesn't have items, mm-hmm. and everybody gets, like, the same starting thing, and the only difference is, like, the character you choose and your style of play.
Yep.
That's actually pretty fun, like, playing Time Trials. That actually makes it an enjoyable experience. That mm-hmm. actually, like when you see that there's a time slightly better than yours, you are encouraged to push better. Like, versus playing, like, the Grand Prix mode with the items, which is just... a mind fuck and makes you lose your sense of self and agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think about, like, why is that? Like, why is this my items all Final Destination game? And I feel like it may have something to do with, again, a sense of, like, public information.
Go on.
So in Smash Brothers, you see the entire screen at the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Items will appear randomly, but they're not activated immediately.
Yeah.
The only thing that's sort of really random in Smash Brothers, I would actually say, is the Pokeball, because that's the only thing that you know what it is, but you don't know what it'll do.
And there's the assist capsules that are basically just a different set of Pokeball.
Oh yeah, true. But those two are kind of like the only ones which you see them, but they are still random.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is like, you know, soccer balls. You see them, you know where they are, you know how they work, you know how
a soccer ball functions. Yeah.
Yeah. In Mario Kart, the only item in the game you are aware of is your own.
Mm-hmm.
Every other one, you are not aware of its existence until you're getting hit by it. Except perhaps mm-hmm. the, like, tag-based cloud.
What is that?
Basically, it's an item that you get, and it's a cloud that sits over you, and then you give it to another player by hitting them, like bumping into them.
Oh, okay.
And then if you have it for too long, the cloud goes off and it shrinks you like a lightning bolt would.
Oh, okay.
But just you and not everybody.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I think it's only in Wii.
Okay.
Because that's the one that I've been playing.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's just a sense of like, it's one of those things like no matter what you do, things just sort of happen and you don't really have the only thing you can really do is like, if a red shell is coming up, because it warns you of that, and if you have an item to sort of block it off with.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, like, 6 or 7 other items that you cannot, like, account for and compensate for that will make you lose your items. So it's not even worth it to hold on to an item to knock mm-hmm. off one of those other ones, because you will not have that
like, item for long. It's not like you can block a blue shell by, you know, holding a shell behind you.
Yeah. Which almost makes sense, because, like, that sort of makes the red shells useless, and the only reason you're using a bunch of other items is to deny red shells. So that really changes the course of the game. And if they wanted it to be like things getting thrown out all the time, that is a pretty decent way to encourage that.
Yeah.
But like they also make it so, like not only do you lose your items, but you'll spin out, you'll slow down, you'll flip over. A lot of times I've been like hit mid jump and it throws me into the pit. So
yeah,
that's like
yeah.
a double jeopardy, in a sense.
Which, you say it's a good way to sort of reinforce the, you know, sort of wacky, chaotic gameplay. Stuff is flying around everywhere, but I don't know if I would make that choice. Like, imagine, like, a competitive fighting game where, like, half of the moves are undodgeable and half of the moves are unblockable.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Well, like, not to mention the fact that, like, I've seen enemies, like, the things that hit everybody, I've seen, like, me and other people getting hit by them, but I'm the only one who gets affected by them. Or, like, if I see, like, 4 people getting targeted, only 2 of them will get hit by it, and I'm always one of them. Like, there's some... And just, like, you know, every time you slow down, because it's not hitting everybody equally, not everybody's equally slowed down. Or for a while, I was thinking maybe it's, like, you know, like, it won't attack people behind you, only the people in front of you. Like, I think that's the way bloopers work.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's now a POW block and a lightning bolt, the shock. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Which is further confusing because things are happening and you don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what happens in America. Like, Like, people would be like, oh, you know, if in Smash Brothers, like, you're winning because of items. It's like, yes, but you're winning because of, like, a judicious use of items. And if anything, the person complaining is losing because they are not accounting for items well. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you wanted to get rid of certain ones, like, because, like, if you see something coming, you can, you know, you can account for it and you can get away from it. You can dodge it, block it, whatever. You can't do that in Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Mario Kart, you just get fucking hit. And then the entire thing passes you. Like, there have been races where I've been in first place, off the line, until the final stretch before the finish line, get hit by something which I never saw coming, and then end up in eighth place.
I think another point of comparison to make there is that I would say, aside from, like, all the, you know, shit you can't account for, that Mario Kart is, like, just in terms of the driving mechanics, like, a well-balanced game.
It is or isn't?
I'm asking you, would you say that it is? Because, like, from my perspective, yes.
I actually kind of want to say it is. And it's interesting because since...
Hold on. I only bring that up as a point of comparison against Smash Bros., which at a competitive level is, like, horrifically unbalanced, which is why they have to, you know, ban stages with vertical walls in them and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, if you want to look at it in terms of, like, movesets, that's actually sort of a thing. Because in Mario Kart, like, it is a driving game. Mm-hmm. And it sort of makes you think, like, what is your moveset? Like, if we sort of take items out of the equation because they are, like, sort of a nonsense, know-nothing, like, they're sort of horrific. Like, if you were to take those out, what are you left with? And since even the DS one, they've added a couple of things. Like, they're, you know...
There's the boost snaking.
Well, yeah, there's snaking, which is, you know, drifting and boosting. And actually, in this one, there are carts and bikes, which both behave differently. So bikes have a wheeling mechanic. Certain bikes actually have, like, a backwards drift. So it's actually, like, you sort of, like suicide lean into the turns, and it'll actually make you drift a bit more.
Oh, wow.
If you're using a cart, there's actually a second level of boost, where bikes only have the first level of boost. So it does sort of come down to skill about, like, are you good at drifting and maximizing boost and doing this?
And then there's the whole, like, light, medium, heavy weight class stuff, right?
There is. It's the worst thing. I've been hit on the starting line on Rainbow Road by somebody bigger than me, and they bounce me immediately off, and so I start the game, like, nearly getting lapped.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is that choice to make. I've got almost everything unlocked. And there's three weight classes, which have 8 people each, like, to choose from for that weight class. And then there are 12 vehicles to choose from for each weight class.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that much.
It doesn't show that many blank spaces until you start unlocking more. Like, I think I only have, like...
Does it only ever show you, like, one blank space at a time?
Yeah, like, it just does enough blank spaces to make it a perfect square.
Weird.
So now, like, I have 2 more characters to unlock, and I think 2 or 3 more vehicles to unlock.
Mm-hmm.
There's like and that's the thing. Like the vehicles do behave differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are, I wouldn't say that there are reasons to use each one, but there are, like, just based by like playstyle preference, different vehicles will feel better to different people. Like I find that I generally always use like the mock bike equivalent, which is slow acceleration, high speed. It has the tight turning, you know, low boost, but.
Mm-hmm. As long as you don't goof, you can just hit a very high max speed.
Yeah, and I'm pretty good at not goofing until there's, you know, items involved.
Yeah.
Even then, that does, like, something like that, like the other ones where it's, you know, high acceleration, or if you're using a small character, you can get through, you have better, you don't slow down as much when you go off-road, that means shortcuts are, like, pretty much every track has, like, a good, like, shortcut place,
mm-hmm.
So there are places where if you want to go, you know, chance going off-road and, you know, hoping you get a mushroom, like, to get the speed boost to go over it, like, that can work out really well in your favor. They don't have the coin mechanic anymore, I just realized.
What was that?
It may have been only in the initial, the SNES Mario Kart, although there was a banana, like an equivalent banana mechanic in Diddy Kong Racing. Basically, like, coins were scattered on the track,
yeah.
And you could drive over them and pick them up. And there was only, like, a set amount. Like, I don't think they respawned. But basically, as you were driving over those, you would get, like, a small percentage, like, overall speed boost.
Really?
So it was just, like...
I don't remember that at all.
I think that's what it was. I may be making that up. I know that's how it worked in Diddy Kong. I don't remember if that was Mario Kart.
Okay.
Like I said, I think it was only the SNES one anyway. But, like, that's... Like that, like, but like there's drifting, there is drafting. So if you're behind an enemy, you can get a speed boost out of them. There's the weight classes, there's the different cars, and then at the end, it's like even on the tracks, there are like dynamic things you have to go about. Like there's one track where it's like a field of cows, and on each lap, the cows wander into different positions and will move as people are going through. So even if you're at the beginning or end of the pack, it's a different thing you have to deal with. Like so even that can really mix it up, and it is sort of skill based about, you know, comes down to that skill based about like make your line, make a good line, make a line that lets you get a lot of little boosts or a lot of big boosts, you know, cut the corners, know where to use your mushrooms. Like it can come down to that, and that itself is actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like you're getting very close to something like a Forza, except without shifting. Kind of.
And with, you know, much less of a simulation focus.
Yeah.
Like none of it.
Well, yeah, without the simulation, but that same idea of like, you know, find your line.
Yeah, yeah.
And cut down time. And like just honing your skills and your ability to do tracks. Like I even find, you know, I have good tracks and I have bad tracks. There are tracks that I love. Pretty much any track from the DS game that they rebuilt, I've never done worse in first place.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I also love to see like the full 3D remakes of SNES tracks. I've always loved that.
Yeah, because they were like so weird and flat.
Yeah. Also on the GBA, there's a couple of those in there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because the GBA was Mode 7 again, too.
Oh, I never played that one.
I have it, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You like Mario Kart? You like Mode 7 Mario Kart?
I don't think anymore.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I really loved Mario Kart on the SNES. I don't know if I would still play it today.
Yeah.
Because it's weird and flat and difficult to look at.
Yeah. Oh, but I love the way Mode 7 looks. It's so flat and stupid to look at.
And, like, the way that lines, like, stretch and, like...
Yeah. You're walking around the world map in Final Fantasy, playing some F-Zero. Gonna... There was one guy, actually, who made...
I don't think the... Oh, like, when you're on the Chocobo in 6. Yeah, that turned into Mode 7.
There's actually a Flash game, which is basically like a Mario Kart-like that was Mode 7, and I thought was really well done, and actually looked really pretty even for being Mode 7. I'm going to see if I can find the link for that and throw it up in the show notes.
Mode 7 wasn't like a thing specific to the SNES?
I forget what the exact definition is. Mode 7 is like rendering mode number 7. I think it was like certain video card chipsets, so it wasn't necessarily specific to the SNES, but I don't think we really use it anymore today. It had something to do with the rendering mode. Like, I think a couple of DOS games were technically Mode 7.
Okay.
But, like, we don't need to do that anymore just because we have enough processing. I don't know exact technicals on it, but...
I remember the Mode 7 vehicle segments in the Star Wars games on the SNES. Those were pretty great.
Yeah.
Fire big red orbs.
So, like, the only thing I'm sad about is in Mario Kart, I cannot just turn items off for the Grand Prix mode. Because that would be really fun to have a lot of players... And be, you know, no items for that randomness and just actually go with it. But playing the time trials, like, everyone is equal, but you get to choose and there's stuff on the track sort of randomized. That's pretty good. Like, that's actually really fun. And, again, going for the idea of, like, you know, like, sort of a game to bet dollars on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like time trial runs in Mario Kart isn't bad. Like, that's a pretty big contender for me right now.
That's not, a simultaneous competitive thing, though. That's just kind of like a set your time and then...
I mean, you could do, like, a high score and, like, whoever... But it could always just be, like, you know, let's go right now. We'll each do a lap right now, and that's the only one that matters. If you do it in that sense, it kind of works. Because there's always a chance you could just fuck up.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to be ballsy and, like, pick a vehicle you don't normally work with. Because there have been times where, like, a track that I know I'm good at, like, I'll try, like, I'm going to try this vehicle today. I'm off the road.
Try the Magic Koopa bike. The
Magic Koopa bike is so good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, the Magic Koopa and the Dolphin Dasher are actually, like, two of my favorite vehicles.
Dang.
And then, like, the Mach Bike and the Off-Road Buggy and the Shooting Star.
Oh, the Shooting Star.
And the Sugar Scoot. I unlocked one bike for small characters that is a duck.
Okay, good.
I believe it's called the Quacker. Straight up.
So you just get Toad sitting on a duck?
Actually, I unlocked Baby Luigi.
Oh, gross.
And Toadette. And Rosalina is in that game, who was the princess from the Galaxy games.
Yeah, yeah.
She
the
is
blue
a,
one.
She is a large character.
Oh, yeah?
Which makes me really happy for some reason. I can't explain. Because there's also Peach and Daisy and...
And then there are they, like, medium and small?
So and Birdo is in that game?
In each class?
No. Like, all the other ones are medium class. Oh. She's a large character.
Awesome.
I don't know, it just makes me happy. It's like, hey, we're bros. We're both large characters. Also, just the way that it uses the height of your Wii to determine size class in that game.
Your me.
Your me, sorry. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, you have the me racers.
So the professor... Oh, game. God. So when on certain tracks, they have like character statues like spread around or like on billboards or stuff.
Will they put me's in there?
Yes. Do you know how many times I've loaded a track and just the professor is looking down on me from a golden statue in the middle of the square?
Gross.
Oh. But then sometimes Diglett shows up and I'm just like, Diglett, what you doing up there?
Oh, man. Oh. Diglett's so great.
See, that game is actually pretty good.
Oh, man, do you want to go play some Mario Kart when we get out of here?
I really do.
Okay,
I was hoping you'd say that because I've been going out of my mind.
Fantastic.
I've gotten stars in nearly... Okay, so there's... Four tracks per cup.
Okay.
All right, so this is going to be a St. Ives kind of thing. There's four tracks per cup.
Wait, what?
A St. Ives. You know, seven kings, seven wives, seven cats, seven bags, whatever.
I don't.
Okay, follow me. There's four tracks in a cup.
Okay.
There's eight cups.
Okay.
There's four tracks in a cup. There's eight cups in a...
In a pre?
In a class.
In a class.
And there's four classes.
Okay.
So...
So there's a lot.
And
fuck.
I've had to come in first, like, consecutively on pretty much all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Plus then there's...
Does it do, like...
Plus then there's time trials, which time trials, each one comes with a staff ghost, and then...
Ooh.
But then if you if you beat the staff ghost by a certain margin, it unlocks a faster staff ghost.
I like to believe that they just have a ghost on their staff that they got to set those times.
Okay, okay. Like a Moaning Myrtle kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Just time trials all day. All right.
Okay, so we're almost ready to ship. Do you still have the ghost that works at Nintendo of America, right? It's like, technically he's not on the payroll, but we can't get him to leave the building. It's like, okay, well, we need some times. So if you could get him a controller and just get him to...
He's not on the payroll because he can't turn in his hourlies. He can only turn in his horrorlies.
Nick, that was really bad.
I'm sorry, the spirit just came over me.
Fuck you. Oh, I love October.
Oh, shocktober. Meely, meely, meely.
Okay, good.
Also,
okay.
It's like, that game is actually pretty good. Like, I actually... ignoring how nonsense items are in the Grand Prix mode, right?
Uh-huh.
That game would be pretty good. Time Trials, actually doing pretty fun. They have so many characters, so many things. Like, they put a lot of work into giving you, like, a lot of setup options. It lets you take two players online split screen.
Oh, nice.
We've done that before, and it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
It keeps, like, it'll sort of, when you go online, it'll sort of change your title. Like, if you use, like, the tilt steering controls, if you do that enough, it gives you that icon and lets people know that's what you're doing.
Oh, nifty.
If you get, like, enough stars in the Grand Prix modes, it'll put stars by your name to give you sort of, like, promotion ranks and let people know how badass you are.
Can I just say that it's kind of ludicrous? Like, we've been talking about this game for almost a half hour.
Yeah.
And I don't think either of us have seemed unhappy about it. But just now you need to say, oh, this game is pretty good.
Yeah. Look, I mean, when you start out by talking about something, by describing it as an existential crisis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But that's the thing.
I suppose we started from a weird place.
Like that's the thing. Like, it was a kind of like... that game has made me curse more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I keep going back to it because, like, the actual, like, actions you take are pretty simple and you can get better at it. It's just that items will fuck you up and make you feel like there's, like, nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, it's so simple and you get such a good grasp on what you're doing and you feel like you're getting better, especially in these other modes. Oh, and then, like, other battle modes and team modes. And there's, like, a lot to put in there to make it, like, a fun thing, especially for real players
Shine
and not
race.
Just...
Is there the shine getting, is that still in there?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've been playing just by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, just like I've been just playing it like, all right, I'm done with my day. I'm going to go play like an hour in Mario Kart and just like knock a couple of things out and just go through and go through. And now it's just like every night, like I just have the list up now of like the last like 4 staff time trials I need to unlock. And that'll probably get me like my last couple of characters.
Get that whiteboard.
And then just go back and just be like, oh man, I just need to get, you know, I need to go back and replay these 3 cups because I only got an A rank and I need at least a 1-star rank in them. And then I will unlock Dry Bowser.
Dry Bowser?
It's like a Dry Bones, but it's a Bowser.
A Bowser skeleton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Do you ever unlock more courses for, like, getting first place in all of them or anything? Because, like, I know in modern Mario, like, mainline Mario games of late, it's been like, get all the stars from each level and then play as Luigi and then get all the Luigi stars in each level and play as, like, double Luigi.
Nah, there's only the 4x8 courses.
Okay.
What is that? 32? There's only 32 courses.
But still.
One of the cups is the mirror mode, so if you want to drive them backwards and count those as extra, but you don't.
Okay.
But yeah, that's
Mario Kart.
If you could play without items, that game would be really great. But the way that they've done items, it makes you lose your mind. It makes you angry. It makes you curse. It is bad for your soul.
But it's still a happy, cheery Mario game.
Yeah.
Be like, check it out. I'm going to be a Yoshi.
Man, I've cursed out so
many
characters.
I'm going to be a Yoshi on a dolphin bike.
Oh, it's good. And the dolphin changes color to match your color character template.
What?
Or palette.
So it's like Mario on a red dolphin.
Mario gets the blue one. Mario gets like the default one. I believe Diddy Kong gets a red one.
Okay. Diddy Kong's in it? Oh, of course Diddy Kong's in it.
Diddy Kong is in it. Birdo is in it. Bowser Jr. is in it.
Bowser Jr. of unknown parentage.
No, he's the only one who is actually a offspring of Bowser.
Yes, but we don't know who his mother is.
Do we ever know who the mother is?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
What?
Go on. Yeah, Mario Kart. That's my thing. I'm done.
Cool.
I was in a city the other day and I got some pizza.
Yeah.
And I had to because the night before I had like a dream about being in the city anyway and getting some pizza. And then I went to the city and I got some pizza.
And then the pizza like turned into snakes and your dad was there and your teeth fell out?
No, it was just amazing. Fucking NYC pizza. You know how long it's been? Like, we're not that far away, but you can't get fucking NYC pizza around here.
I'm happy because I went to this – I was working on this store on Staten Island a while back. There's this pizza place next to it that does, like, ridiculous shit. Like, the other guys I was working with, they each got a slice of pizza that had ravioli Alfredo on it.
What?
Which, like, was – on one hand, I kind of wanted to eat it, but on the other hand, it was kind of upsetting because, like, it's just pizza, man. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But they also had this really good pie with, like, fresh chopped tomatoes and fresh chopped onion and, like, chicken and stuff. It was real good.
Oh, man. You want to go play Mario Kart and get some pizza?
Fuck yeah, but first I'm going to talk about StarCraft.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about what StarCraft Arcade stuff is going on.
So, yeah, I've been fucking around with the StarCraft Arcade recently because part of my mind is like, well, I'm interested. Oh, hey, nice boo.
Yeah.
Like, I like StarCraft, but I get ladder anxiety, like, really hard.
Yeah.
And I just get, like, just vicious to myself in when I lose games on the ladder. But then, like, you know, a couple hours later, I'm, like, okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was playing a game just the other day. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. It was a TVZ on some map. I don't know. And, like, I was mecking up. I was doing okay. He did some pretty hard damage to me early on with he, like, snuck burrowed roaches into my base because they can move around while they're burrowed, and it really sucks.
Right.
But I handled it. He didn't kill me off, and I was able to, like, pressure his third really hard and kind of, you know, put pressure back on like that. But we got into this fight in the middle of the map where I was left with, like, a couple Hellions and a tank and a Thor. And I was just like, okay, I've still got an army. It's time to put the pressure on. And so I was just kind of, like, streaming units in at a kind of a drip pace and mm-hmm. getting them killed off kind of at the drip pace and just losing a lot of money that way.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, Yeah, while I was dealing with that, like, I just teched up to Broodlords, and now I won.
Oh.
And, like, you know, now in retrospect, I'm just like, okay, I see how I could have handled that situation better. Like, I just should have had more patience and, you know, gathered my army into a better position and not kind of dripped them all in at once and made one concerted movement. And, you know, I could have probably killed off that third right then, but, you know, okay, something to keep in mind for next time. But at the time, I was just like,
yeah,
just so angry at myself. So instead of laddering all the time, what I do is I fuck around in the arcade, which is the newish sort of setup they have for custom game modes. Things like, you know, your mono battles and tower defense. And there's this one, oh, I forget what it's called. It's got a weird name that doesn't really relate to the gameplay a lot. It's kind of like a mafia where it's structured like just a regular free-for-all match.
Okay.
But there are three different player roles that are handed out.
Okay.
There are, like, two destroyers, two defenders, and then four, like, regular dudes.
Yeah.
And, like, the destroyer's goal is to kill everyone, and they get bonus income. The defender's goal is to save the regular dudes, and they get slightly less bonus income.
Hmm.
And then the regular dudes just want to survive the game.
Yeah.
So everyone's given all these secret roles and then just kind of like watching each other to see the guy that's building up too fast.
Yeah.
So that's pretty fun.
That sounds pretty dope, actually.
Yeah. As well as there's a lot of sort of remakes of A, like old games that were in like the original StarCraft custom game stuff and then Warcraft 3 stuff, like, you know, old tower defenses and stuff that people have remade, as well as remakes of existing games. Like the other day I was playing Choo Choo Rocket in the StarCraft, which was fucking great because I like Choo Choo Rocket.
Yeah.
And like it was just like, it wasn't any sort of weird hacky like, oh, drag this overlord around the map and then use his abilities to drop arrows on the field. It's like, no, it's just a mouse and keyboard interface, just your mouse WASD drop arrows.
That's fantastic.
Because the editor, the Galaxy editor, I think they call it this time around, is very powerful.
Yeah, sounds it.
Like, people have made, like, third-person shooters and stuff in it. It's great.
Oh, man.
I haven't fucked around with any of those. I'm mostly stuck to tower defense and the occasional choo-choo rocket and mono battles. And I've been playing a lot of tug-of-war games, which you wouldn't like because it's basically two-point swing the game.
Right.
There's one that introduced me to the genre that was called Nexus Wars, which was a really bad implementation of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
The basic idea is that you have, like, two opposing camps on opposite side of a map, and you build structures that generate units on, like, a tick.
Yeah.
And then they run out into the field, and they fight, and you want to push to the enemy's base and kill his stuff.
Right.
So in Nexus Wars, the implementation of it is really bad because the units that spawn from the buildings will clip from the buildings, so you have to build them in such a way that there's paths for the units to get out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't allow you to, like, make a good formation for them of, like, okay, I want to have these guys in the front because they're tanky, and then these guys in the back to do the damage while the guys up front take the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Also because the units don't all spawn on the same tick. Each building has its own tick, and you can kind of line them up by forcibly canceling the building on all of them and then redoing them, but then you're allowing the other guy to, like, push into your lane.
Yeah, you get time then.
And the income is based on the amount of buildings that you have. So it's kind of just like, keep building things and they'll drip out units at weird staggered rates, and it's gross. It's a mess. But I liked the idea, so I, like, kept looking around within that genre, which is actually something that you can do. You can filter. There's actually...
Do you just, like, set, like, a custom genre name?
And no. It's something that's set up within the interface, actually. Like, you just go to, you know, open games, and then there's a drop-down menu at the top that's just like, you know, all games, tower defense, MOBAs.
But I mean, like, are those preset...
Yes.
Okay, they are preset categories. But, like, by that you pick from the editor, not like when you're creating that game mode, you can call it whatever you want.
I think it's just sort of a give and take with the community.
Okay.
Like, this, you know, came into... This is the arcade as it's set up now isn't the way that it's always been. So I think Blizzard kind of looked at, you know, what sort of maps were popular, what sort of genres were emerging, and then created those. And I'm sure there was some, like, back and forth with the community over it. So, yeah, you can just be like, okay, what are other tug-of-war games, which is what these are called.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been playing this other one. It was, like, Colonial Line something. I don't know. Which is great because the way research, like, works to tech up to different units is better. It's something that you actually have to set aside money for rather than just like, oh, you built a barracks, now you can build these kinds of units, and then, oh, you built this unit, now you can build a factory, now you built a factory, you can build this. And units all spawn on the same tick.
Okay.
So everyone's units spawn at the same time, and they all actually move at the same speed. So you can set up little, like, phalanx formations and stuff with, like, you know, tanky guys in the front and rage dudes in the back.
Good.
Income is based on... Hold on, I dropped something. How much of the lane you control. There are basically three little beacons along the path of the lane that generate money.
So it's a three-point swing.
Yes.
Okay.
And as, you know, your units, you know, take control of that area... You know, whenever a unit crosses that plane, it switches the control of that beacon.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can keep your lane consistently pushed past the middle, you're making more money in that lane.
There's only one lane in these games?
There are three in that one. Okay. In Nexus Wars, there's two, and it's a 4v4 game, so it's two people per lane.
Okay.
In this one, it's 3v3, and there are three lanes.
Okay.
And you can also invest in any of the lanes to increase the amount of money that the beacons produce.
Ooh.
So even if your lane is like, you know, you're getting pushed back, you're not holding the lane, but, you know, you're still stable, you're not dying, you can invest in one of your friend's lanes who's put his money towards winning the lane rather than investing.
Yeah.
And then get the money back from him keeping the lane held.
Okay, so everybody sort of...
shares income.
Yeah, shares income.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's just sort of this rock, paper, scissors of, like, seeing what they produce and adapting, and then them adapting to you and you adapting to them.
That sounds all right.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I mean, it does sound sort of like a, what do you call it? A backwards MOBA?
Yeah, kind of.
Just in the sense that you're doing all your stuff at the base, and then what happens in the lane is up to...
Yeah, you don't, like, really have
math and what the outcome will be.
Yeah, you don't have direct control over it, but, you know, you set up the formation and the unit composition and everything.
Which actually sounds a bit more interesting to me. Also sounds a lot like the gratuitous battle games.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have gratuitous space battles now. I really should check that out.
Me too.
Also got...
I think I've uploaded some fleets to the cloud. You should fight them.
Yeah. I also...
They're probably not very good. It'll be good for you.
That was the same pack that had Spaz in it, and I really want to try that. Space
pirates
and
zombies.
Yeah. If you like FTL, but a twin stick shooter, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's another game. I think there was a Flash game called, like, Captain Infinite or something like that, which was basically that game, looking a bit more like Battleships Forever.
Okay.
I'm going to see if I can...
Battleships Forever?
Yeah, doesn't that game give you a little tingle somewhere?
It does.
I'm going to see if I can find that game, too, and throw it in the show notes, because I feel like doing work for this episode. What?
Can I make a sort of Battleships Forever in the StarCraft thing? Because one of the old Warcraft maps that I really liked, we were actually talking about it before, were like these tank and battleship sort of MOBA games.
Yeah.
Where you were building like a tank that would have a cannon that you had to manually aim, but then you could also like mount weapons on it that would auto-attack and stuff. And it was really cool. And you were sort of just like procedurally building over the course of a game like just this weird... weapon platform thing.
I would definitely play that.
Those are fun.
I know at one point I picked up a like 3D Scorched Earth.
Yeah.
Which was all about
Scorched 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun game.
I don't think I ever got a chance to like play that with people. Like I played
it's
against
pretty cool.
Just like, you know, here's this one thing, pick an angle and velocity and stuff.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna like add another one and make it kinda harder. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. I like Scorched.
It's like this 3D chess game. We're just going to add a... Here, we're just going to take what you know and just make the space a little bit bigger.
Now, the chess pieces look like aliens, and they'll have a fight animation when you take pieces.
all right, let's just, yeah.
Give us $2 and you can make your chess pieces look like knights.
Oh.
Except maybe switch knights and aliens, because it makes more sense for chess pieces to look like knights.
Nah.
At first, maybe.
Not in 3D.
Okay.
How else do you move?
Oh, right.
I mean, because they're going to be have to be like knights with like jetpacks or anti-grav
boots. Oh, you meant like chess on like three boards. I thought you just meant like...
No.
I thought you just meant like chess master in 3D.
I kind of wanted to check out... Giant Bomb did a quick look of it a little while ago. It was like... Like a chess...
Boop, boop, talking about other podcasts!
I know, but it was like a chess game that looked like battle chess, but there were like three modes. The first mode was like just regular battle chess, like just an animation played when you took a piece.
Mm-hmm.
The second mode was like, it became sort of like a reaction timing, almost rhythm-based game, and that determined
what?
The piece. And like, it had like attack and defense and give up and piece HP and stuff. And then the third mode was like when two pieces collided... Like each piece
explode.
Each piece represented like a small army, and then it went into sort of like a group hack and slash based game.
That sounds.
It made chess dumb.
Yeah, that sounds like bad chess.
But
it might still be a fun game
if you turn it around, and if you have like fun little battle sections and wrap that in a sort of chess like wrapper.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's like a. The Chronicle of Swords mode. And
I was thinking the same thing.
Which I really like that.
Or,
like, I wish I had, like, a legit multiplayer and not just a multiplayer the way we played it. Oh, God, let's get a team together and do that.
I don't remember that. But, no, there was some, like, grand strategy, like, European war-y game. Was it Knights of Honor? I think it was in Knights of Honor. You could take, like, direct control of, like, armies and stuff while you were battling, but most of the time... At least the way Brian played it, maybe he just wasn't good at the RTS part, and he just kind of let them play out on their own.
Maybe. Was it one of Total War games, maybe?
I don't know if they had the same, like, strategy level.
Total War was, like, very much about the...
Like, the overworlds,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, I don't know if it did.
Making treaties and, like, sending daughters to marry into other countries and whatnot.
I had a roommate, I think he played the game you're describing, I don't remember what game it was, but it was, like, a Civilization or a Total War or something like that, definitely. Because it definitely was about, like, go off and send things and make trades and then have a tactical battle system.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing, and while I haven't seen anything that seems really, like, game-changing in the StarCraft arcade so far, partly because the interface is not that good, and it kind of just keeps promoting games that have been around the longest because, you know, they have more plays.
But poor marketing implementation, yeah.
Like, they have, like, within any given genre, like... You can get a list of, like, the top 10 popular games, and it's usually, you know, ones that have been played for the past 3 years.
Yep.
But they have, like, a little top bar section that they curate, which is how I found out about the Choo Choo Rocket. But, you know, we've seen with Dota and stuff like that, like, we've seen game genres come out of this sort of space in the past. So it's possibly something to keep an eye on, but so far it just kind of seems like stuff.
Yeah, I mean, something... I mean, that's the thing. Like, if there's, like, a high rate of just stuff coming out of it,
yeah.
Like, it's law of averages. The more stuff you have coming out of it, the more likely you are to get something interesting.
And I should kind of, like, I should take a day and instead of playing, like, you know, six games of Colony whatever wars in a row, just, like, go to each category and see what the most popular game in that thing is and see what's going on.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
There
was, like, some kind of competitive sniper game that... They were promoting a while back.
Silent Scope. Goddamn,
I have
Silent
no
Scope.
Idea what the deal with that was, but I should go check it out because seems interesting. All of this reminds me of I was reading about Ion Storm the other day because I don't know, Daikatana came up, and did you know that they made like a traditional line fighting RPG in the Quake 3 engine?
Really?
Yeah, it's called Anachronox.
I think I heard of that. I have heard of that. I think I have a disc right behind me with a demo of it on it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's a thing that exists. They also made one of the Thief games, which like comes to my mind whenever somebody talks about Dishonored and it's like, yeah, it's pretty Deus Ex-y, and I'm like, no, it's Thiefy.
What is that game? Because just from looking at it, it looks Bioshocky.
I don't know. I haven't played it.
Just because it seems very thick.
Thick?
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, like, like, BioShock had two things going for it. It had atmosphere, like, it was well-designed, good, like, visual design.
Yeah.
But things were thick. Like, I felt like every hand was thick, every gun was made out of giant pipes.
It was thick.
Every giant pipe was made out of...
It was, like, so giant.
It's like,
that's an interesting way to describe it, and, like...
But that's I get the same kind of vibe from
Dishonored.
The gameplay
of it felt thick, too.
Yeah. Like,
it had its own sort of pace and weight to it. It was thick.
It was a thick game.
Okay.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it a slog, because you could slog through thick things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad.
I don't know if I... Like, I haven't played Dishonored, obviously, but I don't know if I would call it thick because of the amount of, like, mobility and stuff that they give you.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, everybody, like, you know...
You got Blink, you got Time Stops, you got...
So it seems like that could be cool, but, like, without playing it, without feeling that, it definitely seems thick.
I've seen a
like,
lot
it,
of...
it looks thick to
I've
me.
I've seen videos of people, like, just decimating, like, guard checkpoints and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, there's, like, four guys on the ground down there, and they're all watching each other, and there's one of those giant guys on stilts or whatever up there. How are we gonna... And then he, like, throws a swarm of rats at two of the guys that makes them panic, stops time, blinks across, like, three different rooftops to leap on the guy on stilts and just knife him in the throat, fall down, and then from there possess one of the guys on the ground, burst out of him, I guess, to avoid fall damage or whatever, and
yep.
murder the remaining guy.
Yep.
And I'm just like, okay, that was a thing that just happened in 20 seconds. Good job.
Yeah. No, like, gameplay-wise, it seems very good. It's just this thing, like... Like, you switch weapons, and then you just see this, like, slab of ham holding a knife come up, and you're like, oh, that's my hand, and that's why it seems thick to me. That's the part I can't get past. It's just like, oh, I'm trying to see what's going on in the game world, but I got these big slabs of ham in my view. Oh, my hand.
I've got these fists of bacha. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to get on that, and I want to get on XCOM, but I think I'd have to play either one on the 360 at this point.
Yeah.
And Dishonored, I've... would have no problem doing that, but with XCOM, like, I don't have, I still have a CRT TV, and
yeah.
reading text on an HD game
yeah,
when that is
that
difficult.
That would ruin
and that's
you.
A kind of text-heavy game.
It's okay, it's all based on look.
Not really.
I know. That's one of the, somebody was trying to post an argument about that yesterday.
That there are dice rolls in it?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, like, apparently they were just getting really bad ones, and, like, you know, like 95% shots just kept missing.
Well, okay.
Yeah, happens. That's dice rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Go play Counter-Strike.
Video games.
Yeah, or you think we're good?
I think I'm good. I don't know if you're good, but I'm good.
I'm pretty good. I mean,
are we good?
Well, what was the other thing I was doing? I'm doing a stream tonight and probably all this week. So if you want to, I put the link up on my Tumblr, which is lcom.tumblr.com. Or I reblog it on the Oliku one, which is Oliku, because, you know, simple names.
Mm-hmm.
The wait, I don't. You weren't there when we did Teams. It was something I did with Upstate Crew, and basically the way we did it is we just had like one player play the Overworld part in Chronicle of Swords.
Oh, okay.
I knew I was forgetting a word there. But just like, you just get one person to play sort of the strategy game and go around and upgrade towers and do stuff.
And then one person fights?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you just, for each person you have, you create a character
oh.
in that mode. And then just each person has a character. And when that character gets into a fight, they go and play out the fight.
That sounds fun.
It's super fun. It's kind of slow because there's a lot of people not fighting constantly.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a pretty good way to, like, trade off and play
seems
that.
It's like a way to spend an afternoon.
It's a really, really good way to spend an afternoon.
Because when you're not in a Soul Calibur fight, you can, like, hunt a monster or be playing cards against humanity with each other.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like there was something else I was playing, but it wasn't worth talking about. Yeah, just Quake 4. I haven't played enough of it to start saying words on it yet.
I've been playing Disgaea. I got up
Shallow.
I got up to Chapter 5. I got a Ninja Girl. And, like, a big frog dude who casts lightning. It's pretty cool.
Yep. I'm trying to hunt some purple Ludros, and
okay.
then I was having trouble, and then I realized poison negate. So now
yeah.
I'm going to go put on my cowboy outfit and hunt some purple Ludros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This
yeah.
has been an Oliku Studios podcast.
It has.
You can find more of them on our website, olikustudios.net/podcast. You can also find us in iTunes. We would love it if you wanted to rate or review.
You can send us emails, podcast@olikustudios.net. You can hit us on Twitter at Oliku, facebook.com/Oliku, and oliku.tumblr.com.
As discussed.
Yep.
If you have any questions, feedback, feel free to hit us up on Twitter and emails. We would really love to hear from you guys.
Vote for us on the Casties?
Yeah.
Probably.
What are the Casties?
I don't know. I imagine some sort of award for, like, best broken bones.
Casties!
By the way, we're going to enter the Casties this year, so you may want to start biting on your wallet now.
Okay.